Just love all of you so much, you know. I feel like I'll just tell you, every day I wake up, you know, to pastor, I feel a kid on Christmas time. You know, I was one of those kids at Christmas that just stay up all night long, couldn't sleep, and just full anticipation. And so that feeling, you know, of excitement, just to pastor y'all, I just love y'all so much, and just appreciate you. You know, God's got good things in store for this church, as a body, as individuals, and we're going to see it come to pass. Praise God. We're going to see it come to pass. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Wasn't Sunday amazing? If you weren't here, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, you need to go back and listen to live stream. It was just so wonderful, and praise God. And, you know, I might say the same stuff, but who am I? When Pastor Michael says it, we could believe it. My God, the faith message is true when he says it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I'm glad someone come in and just with the anointing on his life. I believe people were so helped on Sunday. And I could care less if people get it for me or him, Pastor Scott. It doesn't matter to me. I just want people to get it. Amen. I just want people to get it. Praise the Lord. And so let's pray and pray that we get it tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much. You are a great miracle working God. You're a God of signs and wonders. You're so wonderful. We're so thankful. Father, we're in your presence tonight. We're humbled, Lord. It's very humbling for me to stand before people that I admire and love so much and have such great respect for, that you'd give me the opportunity to share your word with them. And so, Father, I want them to walk out of here blessed. And so they're not here to hear what I think or my ideas or plans or thoughts or opinions or theories or philosophies. Father, they're here to hear from you. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're going to speak through me. And, Father, I'll just be a vessel, you know. It's not the FedEx guy that we're excited about. It's what the FedEx guy brings. And so, Lord, I'll just be the FedEx guy tonight. And I'll bring what you have for people. And we'll be excited about what you have. And so, Father, we thank you for boldness tonight. And, Lord, you already told me in the office it's going to be a night of utterance. And so, whatever you want to say, wherever you want to go, rabbit trails, different exits, different door, whatever, Father, we'll just be obedient. Lord, you've already shown me that that's the case tonight through the offering and different things that you've brought up in my heart. And so, Lord, we yield to your ways tonight. Say what you want to say. Interrupt us if need be. Do what you want to do. And, Lord, we'll walk out of here changed and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just want to kind of just go over real quick a little bit of some of the stuff that was said on Sunday and then build upon that, not added anything to that, because my goodness, I didn't need anything added to it or change, but just build upon it to what Spirit of God's leading me to. But it said Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus answering unto them said, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. And you know, I love what Pastor Michael brought out, you know, verse 23 and 24. Man, they're our favorite verses of faith, right? I mean, these are the verses that tell us we can change our world, right? That we don't have to just accept the status quo or the norm or what, you know, we maybe grew up in the wrong side of town or grew up in the wrong family and grew up with, you know, maybe not with prosperity like the kid down the street or someone else, or maybe grew up with sickness in our bloodline and the genes. We don't have to take that anymore. Amen. We got faith. Faith can change things. Hallelujah. And we know that we change things through saying and through praying. And I love what he pointed out. He said he's wondering why it didn't work for people, you know, and you see it all the time. People, it's not working. I'm confessing and I'm praying. I'm confessing. I'm praying. I'm confessing. I'm praying. And he said the answer was right there, you know, and he said the answer was in verse 22. It said, and Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. And remember, he pointed out that before we start saying, before we start praying, we need to have the faith before. A lot of people are saying and praying not from a platform of faith. And not only is the answer in verse 22, but it's in verse 23. He says, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, well, you got to say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, but shall believe what he says. So he's saying you can't just spout off at the mouth and expect things to change. If what you're saying, you don't believe it, it's kind of like this, you know, people run with that doctrine. They say, well, that name it and claim it business, you guys think you can say anything? Well, no, I think I can say anything aligned with the word that's I believe in my heart and I'll get it. Amen. For example, I can't just say, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and, you know, there's going to be a brand new Porsche in my driveway. I said it, it's coming to pass. No, when I say those words, I don't believe those words. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to believe what you say. You got to have faith first. Verse 24 says the same thing. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Well, there's praying, but he also adds something to it. Believe. Believe you receive when you pray. And so I love that, how he pointed that out and brought that up to us, because I think it was so encouraging for me and refreshing as a minister, because again, I don't care how people get it. I don't care if you're listening to Joel Osteen. I don't care if you're listening to Joyce Meyer. And you come in and you tell me, Pastor, I got it. And I'm thinking in my head, man, I've taught that over and over again. It don't matter to me. As long as you get it, praise God. And I just believe that people got some things on Sunday morning. Amen. And Pastor Michael's far more anointed than I am and stands in different offices. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I love how I brought that out, because I think so many times people, they get a hold of the confession thing. They get a hold of praying. But they're really not believing what they're saying. They're really not believing what they're praying. They're more speaking in hope. Speaking in wishing, right? That's not how it works. And so we gotta work it the right way. Hallelujah. And so Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. Can you go grab me my phone? I want to check the thermostat, please. Thank you so much. Romans 10 and verse 10 says this. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. You see that there? With the heart man believes. So the belief has to start in the heart. Right? Thank you so much. Just don't mind me as I'm preaching, messing with my phone. I'm not checking the scores or texting my friends and saying, wow, this is going, texting Pastor Tim, hey, how's your service going? Mine's going pretty good. How, get a good crowd tonight? Yeah, pretty good. It's not bad. Hallelujah. Just give me one second here. I just want to make sure we don't get too hot in here tonight, because one second. I should have done this before. Forgive me. Okay, where are we at? All right, we're good. We're good. System. Okay. And so the Bible says, Romans 10 and verse 10, that with the heart man believes unto righteousness. So you believe first with the heart, but then notice what it goes on to say. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Remember what Brother Hagin used to say? The confession brings the possession. But it's not just the empty confession. It's with the first, the believing of the heart. The confession's not ever supposed to happen until first the one believed with their heart. Got the platform of faith of believing. And then go over there to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 19 is where we're going to look. Hallelujah. So with the heart, man believes. And remember what he said? He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which is what? The word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto the word. As a light that shineth in a dark place. So it's, the context is talking about the word of God. It says, until the day dawns and the day star rises in your heart. Well, what's the big deal of the heart? With the heart, man believes. And remember he said it's got to rise up in your heart. You can stand there and speak to your mountain all day long, but if your heart's not first solidified, what is it? It's like putting nothing in the gun and shooting blanks. That's what they use in movies. People really don't get shot in movies. Why? It sounds the same, right? It even looks the same, but it doesn't have the same effect. And Christians can fool themselves, and they can sound the same, and it can look the same, but it's not knocking anything down. Why? Because they're firing blanks. They never got it first solidified in their heart. You got to get it first solidified in your heart. I've had people tell me, as straight-faced and as serious as can be, this doesn't work for me. I've been confessing. Well, when you talk to me like that, I already know you're not in a place of faith, because people in faith don't talk to their pastor that way.
That's right. Come on.
People in faith don't get an attitude like that. It's just the truth. They don't. People on faith say, I'm confessing it. It's coming to pass. I don't care that I haven't seen it. It's coming to pass. Amen. But see, they've been looking like something and they've been sounding like something, but they're just firing blanks at that mountain. And it's not working. But see, we learned on Sunday that there's a first process that we got to get in our heart. And he tells us that in verse 22, verse 23, and verse 24, that we got to get something in our hearts. Well, then go to Romans 10, 17. Hallelujah. So then faith cometh. Where does faith first come? For with the heart man believes. First rises up in your heart. That's where faith originates. That's where faith starts. So then faith cometh. Where does faith originate and come? Into your heart. But how? By hearing and hearing the word of God. And we know that. We saw that on Sunday. We looked at that on Sunday. Hallelujah. And so, go to Joshua 1:8, and then we're going to take off. Joshua 1:8. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. Where does faith come? It comes into your heart. With the heart, man believes. See, what he's saying is when the heart believes, that's putting the bullets in the chamber. That's putting the bullets in the magazine. If you skip the heart part first, that's you taking the gun out, not putting any bullets in it. Well, I'm just going to speak. Yeah, but do you really believe what you're saying? I hope you have a confession list by now after how many times I've told you to have a confession list. When I speak my confession list, I'm not wondering if it's going to come to pass. I'm not hoping it's going to come to pass. I know it's going to come to pass. Well, I've had blank faith before where you just say it and say it and say it, don't really believe it. Well, you got to take care of that first. You got to get that believing down. So if faith starts in the heart and it comes by the word, now Joshua 1:8 makes a whole heck of a more lot sense to us. If I mixed that up how I said that, I apologize. A heck of a lot more sense. Sometimes I get a little bit ahead of myself. But this book of the law shall not depart. That air should kick on if you're dying of heat like I am. It's coming. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according. Well, I'd like to hook us all right up now to a lie detector test. Find out how many people in here are really doers of the word, because we found out on Sunday we need to be doing this day and night. We amened him. Oh, amen, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. Well, what did your Sunday night look like? What did your Monday morning look like? What did your Monday at lunchtime look like? What did your Monday at nighttime look like? What did Tuesday morning look like? What did Tuesday afternoon look like? What did Tuesday night look like? What did this morning look like? What did this lunchtime look like for you? Let's hook us all up and say, yeah, we did it. We did it. We amen good on Sunday. But have you been day and night feeding on the Word? If not, you didn't get Sunday. And remember, I said people that don't have that revelation, they need to be in it day and night. You need to listen to Sunday over and over and over and over and over again until you know in your heart that you need to have the Word ever before you.
Amen.
Amen. Come on. I'm a guess there's probably some people that don't want to be hooked up to a lie detector test in here tonight. I believe there's a lot of people that say, oh, let's do it, you know. But we want to be doers of the Word. Why are we here? We've got to be doers of it. Praise God. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate there and day and night. What's the big deal to meditate there and day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written therein? For then shall your way be made prosperous, and you shall have good success. It's not the fact that when you get in the Word of God and feed on the Word of God that all of a sudden God says, wow, my child is such a good student of the Word. My child is such a good student of the Bible. My child is, you know, they're so religious, and they bring their Bible with them, and they let people see that they're reading it, and, you know, they're passing the test today. And so, therefore, I'm going to bless them because they're doing... No, 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 no. You being in the Word of God does nothing for God. It changes him not. He changes not. He's the same. He already loves you. He's already for you. He already is endeavoring to bless you. He said, I look to and fro over the whole earth just looking for somebody I can bless. Well, he blesses people through the channel or through the pipeline of faith.
Amen.
Amen. Remember what we talked about on Sunday? That you can, I love this analogy, you can have anything you want at Walmart. You can have anything you want at Tiffany's. You can have anything you want at Nordstrom's. You can have anything you want at any store you want if you have the right amount of money. It's the same thing with faith. You can have anything the Word promises you if the faith is right. Praise God. So you being in the Word, now that we see that it has to start in your heart and that it comes into your heart through the Word, Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh, where does it come? It originates in our heart. Now we know why, Joshua 1:8, why when we're in the Word a lot, why we would have good success, because when we're in the Word a lot, what's happening in our heart? Faith is growing. Faith is growing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If the heart is growing in faith, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? Faith words. Not blanks, but real faith fire. And it's going to hit that mountain and hit that mountain and hit that mountain and chip away at that thing and knock things off that thing. Praise God. So tonight, I want to, as your pastor, sought God on some things, what I needed to share. And I want tonight to present to you ammunition. Faith bullets. Faith cannonballs. Amen. Faith missiles. I want to present it to you. Because a lot of times people, they don't know where to start. They don't know where to go. Well, I want to give you the ammunition for the mountains that you face, that if you'll take that ammunition and do Joshua 1:8 with it, it's sitting there and it's loading the gun of faith and you're just getting a full magazine. Just that thing is loaded and ready to go. And then when it's in there, whatever your mountain is and you open your mouth, boom, it's going to have effect. It's going to have power. Praise God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Did you miss me yelling at you?
Amen.
Does Pastor Scott yell at you?
No.
What's wrong with him? Try to tell him. You got to yell. You got to get fired up. No. People are just different, right? I'm just crazy, I guess. I don't know. 1 John 5 and verse 14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will. Well, what's His will? His will is His Word. He hears us. Verse 15, if we know He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him. When it comes to faith, the Word of God is key. Because the Word of God is the will of God. And when we ask according to the will of God, we have what we prayed for. So we need to find out, because what is the Word of God? What is the will of God? The Word of God and the will of God, that's the ammunition. That's what needs to come into your heart, the ammunition, to give you something so you're not firing blanks at your mountain. And so, I've often used this example when it comes to faith. You know, Caleb would love to stay home from school every single day. It's more fun at home. He found that out. It's more fun at home, isn't it? I mean, unless he has a field trip or something, you know, he'd rather just prefer to stay home. And, you know, there's certain times that, you know, hunting comes up. I let him stay home, you know. We already know we're not going to school the day after the Super Bowl, are we? Because the Super Bowl's the best day in America. I love the Super Bowl. I love the Super Bowl. Not even because of the game or so. I just love it, the food and everything. And so we stay home and stayed home when the Cubs won the World Series and just different things, you know, we do sometimes. And, you know, those days, like the night of the Super Bowl, I'd tell him, you know, buddy, staying up, say, I'll watch a whole game, and you're not going to school tomorrow. Well, he can go to bed thinking he's not going to school. He can think all he's going to do the next day and be all excited about that. And he can be in full assurance that he's not going to school the next day. Why? Daddy said so.
Amen.
What if he goes to bed tonight and he's laying there? Oh, I'm going to stay home and play all day long. I'm going to be so excited tomorrow. It's going to be so good. Just sleep a little bit longer. Wake up, play with all my toys all day. Go outside. And I got, when I was on my trip, I got him this little moose slingshot. He's been flinging, trying to kill chipmunks. Abby calls it chipmunking. Abby grabs her little slingshot and her bucket of stones, and she goes, I'm going chipmunking. And she can't hit him, you know, and anything. But he goes out there, tries to get him, you know. And he can say, I'm going to do that all day, all day, all day. And he can wake up. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what he thinks. Doesn't matter what he wants or what he hopes for. If Dad didn't say, today you could stay home, he has no confidence at all. He's that when he's laying in bed, he's hoping Dad says yes. He's hoping he gets to go play. There's a difference from the night of the Super Bowl when he's laying there thinking, I know I'm playing all day while my friends are in school. Tomorrow, he wake up all day in the middle of the night and think, I'm just going to hope. He can't have assurance on it. What's the difference? A word from Dad. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, remember her? It said over there in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it said, there's a certain woman who had an issue of blood, you know, 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, grew nothing better, rather grew worse, spent all that she had. When she came in the press behind Jesus, she touched his garment. But before all that happened, the first thing that set that thing off was the Bible says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. What had to happen first? See, she had to first get the faith in her heart. How'd she get the faith in her heart? She heard about the word. She heard there's a healer in town. There's a healer going around. People were testifying about him. Well, that grew in her heart. And then she proceeded to go out and speak. If I could just touch his garment. When she's saying that, she's firing real live faith bullets. But it first started by hearing the word. And so we need to get the word on our subjects, on what we have that we're facing. Remember my testimony? Remember what I said on Sunday after I stood up there and said, you know, when we were $2,000 short, I didn't just start speaking the word. I got prosperity down in my heart. I got supply down in my heart. And then when I opened my mouth to fire, there were real live fire coming out, hitting that mountain of debt, hitting that mountain of poverty, praise God. So I want to help you tonight. I want to give you some things to get the word of God on. Some we might take a little bit of time and say some things about, but it's just going to kind of be a list of things. And this is where probably the utterance is going to start really flowing. And go with me first to 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. Healing belongs to you, child of God. Amen. Divine healing belongs to you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It belongs to you. In fact, I believe it's over there in Luke chapter 13. We won't turn there, but I'll just kind of give you the gist of it. There was a woman who suffered years and years and years. She was bent over, the Bible said. And it was a Sabbath day, and Jesus came up on her and said, daughter, you're loosed from your infirmity. And they got mad, said, you can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't do any work on the Sabbath. But Jesus said something. He said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed on this day? What he was saying was, she is a daughter of Abraham, not even a child of God yet. Jesus hadn't died yet. Daughter of Abraham, shouldn't she be healed? He's saying, she's in covenant. She's an Israelite. There's a covenant of healing. How much more for the child of God? If you're going through physical pain and sickness, if the doctor says you have something, you have a right to be completely free from that. But how is that going to manifest in your life? It's not going to manifest because you tug at the heartstrings of God, because you beg and cry and moan and groan long enough. That's not how the Father operates. He operates on the principles of faith. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. The power of God is always present to heal. Brother Hagin said this. He got a revelation. He said, there's enough power of God in every sick room, in every hospital, to raise every single person off a sick bed and make them completely whole. Well, if the power's always there, it's just like this. We could turn the lights off. And just because the lights are off, it doesn't mean there's no electricity. It doesn't mean that the electricity and the power's not there. We just got to know how to tap into it to get it to work for us. Amen. Amen? Amen? You know, if you brought somebody in from the, I don't know, year 701 into here in a dark room and told them, turn the lights on. Those things will make light. Those things will brighten us up and we can see. Just go turn the lights on as someone from 2017. They would have no idea. They think there's no lights in here. We know there's power in here. They just don't know how to tap into it. Because they don't know how to tap into it, they won't receive it.
That's so good.
A lot of Christians think that. Well, you know, if healing was the will of God, I wouldn't be sick. No, you just don't know how to tap. You haven't learned to tap into it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Healing belongs to us, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. We got to tap into it. That power's ever present, but we got to get it down in our hearts that healing is for us. Remember the leper that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 said, Lord, if you're willing. See, I don't doubt that every single Bible-believing Christian that believes Jesus died and rose again, I believe every one of them thinks that God can do things. Right? I mean, a lot of religious people, they get mad when you tell them God can't do everything. And we know by the Bible, God can't do everything. He's bound by His Word in some things. But I believe everybody would say, yeah, God can heal cancer. God can heal fill in the blank. God can do this. But where the problem lies is people haven't tapped into God will and God should and God is going to the faith realm of it. Yes. Amen. So let me give you some word. If you're going through a sickness, and that sickness no doubt will talk to you. Yeah. The doctor's report will talk to you. What you looked up on Google and Wikipedia, it'll talk to you. Friends will talk to you. The voice of the doctors, it'll talk to you. But what does the word say? Because the friends will say it can't be done. The doctors might say it can't be done. Doctors' tests and reports might say it can't be done. But it says who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were. That's past tense. In God's eyes, you're already healed. You just got to tap into it. By his stripes you were healed. Now religious people will say, oh, that healing that they're talking about there, Pastor, you're getting off and you're wrong here. That's talking about a spiritual healing. Well, I don't know about you, but I never was spiritually healed. You weren't spiritually healed. You were spiritually made brand new. Amen. He didn't come in and bandage up the spirit that was on its way to hell. He didn't come and say, well, here's a bandage. No, he said, let's recreate. Amen. Make brand new. Your spirit wasn't healed, but your body was. Amen. Hallelujah. By the stripes of Jesus, he bore sickness. Remember Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy's husband who went home to be with Jesus? He was taking communion in a church years ago. He said, Lord, I don't understand communion. The body broken for us, the blood shed. He said, Lord, help me understand it. And he stood in that office of the prophet, and they're given to a lot of visions. Now, at that time, he didn't know he stood in that office, but that gifting was still in his life. He just didn't know it yet. And he said, the roof of the church opened up. And he saw Jesus on the cross. And he saw words floating through the air and hitting Jesus' body. And when it would hit Jesus' body, it would jar him. Well, he started to read cancer, tuberculosis, different types of things. Well, in his by his stripes were healed on the cross. The Bible says he bore our infirmities. He took it for us so we could walk in healing. But you got to get that down in your heart that I'm already healed. God already paid the price for me. It belongs to me. That way when I speak it, I know. Psalms 103 and verse 1. Psalms 103 verse 1. Now there's more scriptures on healing than just this, but you got to get this down in your heart. How? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. If you don't have faith that you're healed and that's 100% yours and that's 100% going to manifest, then you need to read 1 Peter 2:24 until when? The day star rises in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Well, you know what that means? All thy diseases means even the ones that are incurable. Even the ones there is no medicine for. Even the ones there is no answer for. But it's not a matter of that can God do it. It's a matter of will you tap in and let God do it? Will you let Him do that? You got to get that in your heart. God already knows He can. But you got to know not only that He can, but that He's going to, that He's willing, and that it's yours. You got to be so convinced and to the point where you laugh at the impossible. Oh, that's what the impossible might say, that big deal. Hallelujah. How much do you have to read that, meditate on it? Till the day star rises in your heart. Till you're 1,000%. I know that doesn't even really exist, but it's dramatic and it makes it sound better than 100. Until you're convinced, praise God. Go to 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Now we're going to go off of healing, even though healing's in this. 3 John verse 2. There's only one chapter in 3 John. It's the second to last book of the Bible. If you're here and finances are a problem for you, and that had to be Abby. That was Abby. I just know. That was Abby. If you're here in prosperity, you're struggling, paying your bills. It's always trial and tribulation financially. It's always never have enough. It's always never, yes, Lord, I'll say that. Before we get to this down in your heart, you better be a doer of the word. I've been up here before, you know, and I'll pray for people getting a line. And they'll be coming up here and people will come up for the same thing, you know, financial. And the Lord will show me things at times. And a lot of times you could be keyed in at times if you'll hear me say something before, you know that God spoke to me. If I don't just lay hands on God, it's because God spoke to me. And sometimes you hear me say when people come up for finances, make sure you're tithing. And the reason he had me say that is because I know some of the people that come up aren't tithing. It's like, well, it doesn't matter how many times I lay hands on you or speak over you, it's not going to work. So if prosperity, you're struggling financially, faith is not going to trump your disobedience to the tithe, your disobedience to the offering, your disobedience to what God has spoken in your heart. Faith won't trump those things, people. It just won't. But let's assume that we're tithing, we're giving, and you know, it's the faith that's the problem. Well, 3 John verse 2 says this, "Beloved, I wish above all things." Look at the first thing he says he wishes for his children, that you'd prosper. You know what prospering is? Not struggling month to month. Not eking by in life. Skimping by, just hoping to make it. Well, again, God's ever ready and ever willing to bless you financially. He's ever ready and ever willing to pour out His provision. After all, He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. He's ever ready to open the windows of heaven and bless you. But again, it always flows through the pipeline of your faith. So are you absolutely convinced that God wants me to prosper, that prosperity belongs to me? How often do I read this? You're going to hear me say this a lot tonight. Until the day star arises in your heart. Until you know that when I say out of my mouth, my needs will be met. It's going to come to pass. You're not just throwing out a Hail Mary and hoping that it lands in the right hands. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I remember this verse is so dear to me. You know, there used to be a place in my yard, you know, when I was a kid playing wiffle ball with Pastor Tim in the backyard. And my stepdad, Denny, he's gone home to be with Jesus now, but man, he was meticulous. It seemed like he was mowing the lawn every other day. That was perfect. It looked amazing, you know. But we'd play out there in the summertime, you know, and there'd be a place that you'd pitch from and a certain place that you stand and you hit from and wear that spot out, you know, just there all the time. Man, we'd get in so much trouble wearing out his. So we had to constantly move our home plate. We had to constantly move our pitcher's mound because didn't want to make Denny mad and upset his perfect lawn. But, you know, this would be a worn out spot in my Bible here. Because when I was going through the situation, and we've gone through other financial tests and trials, I just don't talk about them as much because they're not as big as that one was. This verse, I clung to this verse, dear to my heart. And I would meditate on this verse, and I would pace the floors at nighttime. And I'd wake up saying, my God will supply all my needs. My God, getting it in my heart, getting it in my heart, getting it in my heart, getting it in my heart. And so then when I would hold Caleb and feed him, and that mountain would be before me, and when I would say, Father, I thank you. Every single bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. And I'd say my normal spiel. I wasn't just saying out of repetitive nature. That was me putting stuff in the chamber and saying, here you go, mountain, take this, boom, take this, boom, take this, boom. Why? Because I had taken time I meditate on this over and over. I would absolutely dissect this verse. I'd go over it and say, but my God. I'd say, oh, He's my God. He's my God. My God. If I was the only one, He'd still be my God. And I would just dissect it like that, you know, meditate on the Word. Sometimes I'll take one verse and just meditate on one verse all week long, just one verse, and dissect it, get it so big in my heart. My God. He's my God. He's God. Oh, That's what I do. Just look at the verse. Get it, something right in my heart. I say, my God shall. That means he wants to. That means he's for. Shall what? Supply. There's a supply for me. And then I go to the word all. And I meditate on the word all. And then I think of the word all. Oh, that's my insurance. That's my gas. That's my clothes. That's my food. That's my electric bill. That's my gas bill. That's all. And I get it. And what's happening is whoop, 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 whoop. It's growing so big. And I just got to say something. Because it's getting so big. And out of the abundance of in here, bloop, 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 bloop. I just start spouting faith words all over the place. Praise God. And I'm just, he'll supply all my need, not just the preacher's need, not just Billy Graham's need, not just the big name minister's need, my need. He's interested in my need. See what I'm talking about here? According to what? His riches. And I thought, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter that I don't have a salary. And the light bulb went off. It doesn't matter that your Social Security check is so-and-so. It doesn't matter that your paycheck is so-and-so. When you get it in your heart, it don't matter anymore. He's not meeting my needs according to that stuff anyways. Praise God. And I got a revelation. I don't care that I'm the unpaid pastor. I don't care anymore. According to his riches. And I thought, my God, he's sitting up there on a throne. He paves his streets with gold. Woo! All the cattle on 1,000 hills is his. All the gold and silver. He put all the oil in the ground and all the natural gas in the ground. Praise God. His riches are never ending, and that's what my needs get met according to. By Christ Jesus. And I just do that over and over again. And I got so full of faith that the natural just had to give it up. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And that's why, like when Pastor Michael was saying, you know, the word says you have to be in the word day and night. And people say, oh man, that sounds like bondage. Do you really have to? Yeah, you really do. Yeah. To get it in your heart. Why? Because the world is throwing stuff at us nonstop. Doubt and unbelief. Anti what you're believing for. Your circumstances are anti. People are anti. Your thoughts can be anti. Your feelings can be anti. So we need to be stocking up on the Word. Amen. And you know, that's why I mean people, they do. They come to church once a week if you can get them here once a week. And that's all the time they get. And then we wonder why aren't we firing at our mountains and seeing these things being knocked down? Well, we're not firing faith bullets. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Some of these things, I'm just going to go quicker on. You know, one of the reasons I spend so much time on healing and prosperity is one reason is that's where a lot of people struggle. Amen. Is in money and in things in their body. But also, think about how healing and prosperity are tied to the Great Commission. Yeah. Think about how healing and prosperity are tied to Jesus coming back. We're not going to get the plan of God done being broke. Right. Broke people can't contribute much to the plan of God, and the plan of God needs money. And we won't be able to go out and do the plan of God if we're sick. Sick people can't go out and do a whole lot. So the healing and the prosperity, yes, it's attached to the word of faith and individual blessings that we can receive, but it's on a bigger and grander scale of the end time harvest and trying to bring Jesus back. I'm not trying to just walk in my health and wealth just so I can live in my little cubicle of life and just enjoy everything for me. No, I want to be healthy for God and I want to be wealthy for God. Amen. And let me just say this to you business owners and to you people that have jobs and people that make money. If you will get your heart set on, I'm not working or having a business for my living. I work and have a business for my giving. If you will understand that your prosperity, number one, is attached to the furthering and the advancing of the kingdom, God will bless you more than you ever saw before. If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And that's a true statement. If you'll get in your mindset, Lord, I'm here to make money for the kingdom. Again, you'll be watering. But remember, the watering hose is the soaking wet hose. Yes. It's the hose that stopped watering that gets all dried up and crusty and cracks in it and doesn't seem to work as good. You know, you say, well, I'm only making this little bit. Yeah, but what you have, Jesus didn't say, I only have a couple fish and a couple little things of bread here. No, he blessed what he had. You take that little bit of what maybe you're making and you want to make more, but you take that little bit and say, Father, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to tithe on it. I'm going to give offerings on it. And if you tell me to do something else with it, and you're going to increase me because I'm here to make money. I'm at this job. It'll change your attitude how you go to work.
Amen.
It will. I'm here for the kingdom, praise God. Hallelujah. What about fear and anxiety and worry? We know those are faith killers. Well, look what it says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought. Don't worry for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? He said, behold the fowls of the air. Well, I think we should look at Jesus tomorrow and go bird watching. He said, go look at the birds. He said, behold, he didn't just say that for filler. He said, go look at the birds. He said, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? What's he saying? You go look at the birds are taken care of. The birds are healthy. The birds are living their happy bird life. Aren't you better than a bird? Praise God. Go on to verse 27. Which you by taking thought, or which you by worrying, can add one cubit unto a stature? Why take ye thought, or why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work, they don't spin. What he's saying is, you get to sow, you get to reap, you get to save, you get to work, you get to save money. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O you of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, or don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, where else shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I remember Dr. Dufresne, I'd go to his services and conferences, and he seemed like he stayed on this for years at a time. And he would talk about going and looking at the birds, and he would talk about all this and how. And I'll tell you what it did, is it absolutely built faith up in my heart, and it pushed worry and fear and anxiety right out the door. You're struggling with worry, fear, and anxiety? Why don't you meditate on this over and over and over, and something will rise up on the inside of you. Go to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. We'll pull that up, Jake. Pastor Tim says hi. Just kidding. That'd be funny. He's over in his service. We're just texting away. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Imagine if that verse was real to us. Imagine if that verse really arose in our hearts. How would there be any place for worry? God's with you. Who's God? The epitome or the answer for every single thing you need. Healing, he's there. Prosperity, he's there. Strength, he's there. Protection, that's him too. What if we got that in our heart? Worry, fear, and anxiety are obliterated by this verse when this verse becomes real to you. Because whether or not that's real or not, guess what? God is just as much with the Christian who gets a doctor's report and says, I don't care what that says, my God a healer, and I'm going to get it. He's just as much with that Christian and hasn't left that Christian as he is with the same person, gets the same report, and it sends him into a tailspin of worry. It's not that he's absent from one and present with the other. One's real to the one. One's not real to the other. Amen. That's true. So if you're struggling with worry, fear, anxiety, man, get that in your heart. Praise God. Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 24. Just going through this real quick. I'll be done by 8, I promise. Proverbs 3 and verse 24. What he says here. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Do you know how many Christians tell me they're struggling with sleeping? Sleep, good sleep, belongs to you. It's just like anything. You got to, at times, tests and trials can rise up. How do you get through them? Through faith. There's times where you just can't sleep and you're being tormented or whatever and you're not getting a good night's sleep. How many of you know our bodies weren't meant to not get sleep? Our bodies were made for rest and for sleeping. He said, your sleep shall be sweet. So God promises sweet sleep to you. Go to Psalms 4 and verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. That's just like God saying, I'll supply all your needs. Taking that verse and believing that for your finances. Why not take these verses and believe that for your sleeping at night? Amen. What about Psalms 127 and verse 2? Psalms 127 and verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of the sorrows. For he gives his beloved sleep. I remember Jonas was his name, and still a friend of mine. He worked on my office at home, renovated that. And I've never seen people work like these guys, you know. At times I'd pick them up, you know, they can't drive, and they could, but they'd choose not to. But I pick them up, you know, at 4:30 in the morning. And they don't go home till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. It just amazed me how hard they work. And when they take lunch, it's like, how fast can we get this food down so we can get back to work? You know, just awesome character, awesome integrity. And so they're putting in hard, long days. Well, you ought to be able to lay down at night after a long, hard day and just conk out. And I overheard him saying, you know, he's like, I'll put these hours in. He's like, if I get an hour to hour and a half of sleep at night, I'm doing good. He's like, I just am constantly... He said he'll have terrible nightmares and dreams and just wake him up and keep him up, you know. And man, my heart broke. I mean, here he's working on my place and not getting any sleep. And I started to feel fear rise up in me, you know, don't say anything to him, don't say anything to him, don't say anything to him. And I said, you know what, forget that. I have the answer. I want to help him. I said, Jonas, come here. You know, I felt bad taking him away from the work, not because I cared if he took a break, but because they just like to work, you know. And I said, do you have 10 minutes? Sit down. I said, I heard you talking about some things, and he's a Christian man, just doesn't know much about the word, you know, and much about faith. I said, you know that God, you believe in Jesus, right? He said, yeah. I said, that's a promise from God, isn't it, that God gave Jesus and Jesus died on the cross for that? That's a promise you believe in, isn't it? Yeah. What's that going to mean for your life? Well, it means when I die, I'm going to heaven. I said, absolutely, it means that. I said, did you know that also God promises that he gives his children good sleep? I said, I didn't know it said anything in the Bible. I've never read anything like that before. I said, yeah, most people don't know that. I said, just as much as God told you that you could have Jesus in heaven, just as much he wants you, his word is still the same. He meant about Jesus just as much as he meant about the sweet sleep and the beloved sleep and the peaceful sleep. And I said, but how did you get saved? He said, I had to believe in Jesus. I said, you know how you're going to sleep good? You got to believe in his word. And so I showed him these scriptures. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these verses. I want you to read them, meditate on them, get them in your head so you can memorize them. Anytime you think about it, get these verses. And what I was trying to tell him is you need to get some ammunition. You need to get something in your heart. And that's, you know, I didn't go into details with him, but that's what I'm saying to him. You just meditate on these verses. And then I said, start saying them. Start saying, and I wrote this all out for him. I said, say this. I put it in quotations. When I lie down, I sleep sweetly. I sleep peacefully. I wake up rested. I said, start saying that. It wasn't 5 or 6 days later, he came back to me and said, Mike, the way he talks, Mike, you're not going to believe this. He said, I did exactly what you said. I thought, well, that's a miracle right there. I said, my God, nobody does exactly what I tell them to do. I said, that's a miracle right there. He said, I did exactly what you said. I read those verses. I told him, read them at lunch, read them in the morning, read it before you go to bed. I said, show your wife these verses. And he said, I did that. And I started reading right off the paper what you told me to say. He said, the last couple nights, he said, I've laid down. I can't even remember when I fell asleep. It happened so fast. I slept all the way through the night and woke up feeling great. And then this is even the best part. He said, I got so excited, I had to run down to my dad's house and show him because he struggles with sleep. And then I got with him in hunting, and Jonas Sr. said, you know, the quiet, stout Amish man said to me, wow, I didn't know those things were in there. And that thing really works, doesn't it? I'm thinking to myself, my God, you don't even know all that's in the Bible. Amen. That'll work for you. But this will work for you. But you got to get it in your heart. Amen. Amen. Psalms 127 and verse 3. We're going to get going quicker here. I got to go. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I don't know, people in here right now or listening by live stream, but if you're believing God for a baby, it's God's will that you have a baby. Amen. Go to Psalms 128, verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Back when we were getting ready to have a baby, her name was not Courtney here in the house. It was Fertile Myrtle. Was. Speaking faith. So it's going to be easy, praise God. Hallelujah. Why? The Bible says the wife shall be fruitful vine by the sides of the house. Thy children like olive plants round thy table. Hallelujah. If you're believing God for a baby, sometimes people just can have a baby, but other times it could be a test. It could be a trial. You have to use faith for it. Amen. Hallelujah. What did he say over there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28? He said, be fruitful and multiply. Amen. It's his will. Glory to God. You're believing God for a baby. Get these in your heart. Start calling yourselves parents. Start saying, I'm Fertile Myrtle. Praise God. You can take that name. She don't need it anymore. Praise God. It's all yours. Grab onto it. Fertile Myrtle. Praise the Lord. Start saying it's easy for me, and at the right time, I'm going to have a baby. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18, verse 22. It's hitting on some things here. Whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. What did he tell Adam and Eve? He said, it is not good that man should be alone. Marriage is God's will. What does that mean? If you're believing for a spouse, it's God's will. Now, I'm going to help some people here tonight with some things real quick. Because I'm going to talk about a spouse that's necessarily... I'm going to tell you what kind of a spouse you should be believing God for. And then I'm going to tell you, because a lot of times when raising kids and different things and at times in people's lives, if they pick spouses, we didn't know what we know now about the Word and different things. Well, praise God, God helps us still. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to help people with, what kind of a spouse to look for, and also spouses that are not on board with this God thing. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So the Bible says you can be married. Praise God. It's God's will. Amen? You know why that's important for people to know? I remember one time I was preaching over in the storefront. And I didn't know this. No one had told me this. It's a word of knowledge. It's when you supernaturally know something that you didn't otherwise know unless God showed you. And there was maybe, it was a Wednesday night service, and there was like 7 or 8 people there. But there was a family, and I said, I went off the tangent, I said, like a spouse. I said, God's promised you a spouse. And, you know, you might look around the church and see a handful of people and think, man, I know, because of what I'm going to tell you here in a second, is the spouse you're supposed to go for. Young people, the spouse you're supposed to, single people, go for. And so there's guidelines of the spouse to pick. And at times, that feels like, naturally, that can narrow it down to hardly anyone. But God wouldn't promise you and give you guidelines to make you be single your whole life and not get the right person. He would not do that to you. Praise God. But I said, out of my mouth came the words, it doesn't matter how many righteous boys or girls are in your church. God's not limited by the walls of this or by the town of South Dayton. I said, all you need to do is stop trying to figure out how the guy or the gal is going to come. Put your faith in the Word. Have it rise in your heart that God says it's good for you to have a spouse. And these are the guidelines that, yes, you can have a spouse and one that's righteous that loves God.
Amen.
People think, well, I can have this, but I got to do without that. Not when you do it God's way.
Amen.
And I said that, and a young girl starts weeping. Well, she had had the very thoughts that I said, that her thoughts are coming against her. Well, how am I ever going to find a guy? I know I can't. My church isn't that big. I'm in a small town. She was homeschooled. She said, I don't even go to school. And her thoughts were, you're never. But that's not what God's Word says. God's Word says it's His will. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I had a girl from the Olean church. She loved the church. Young college girl. Excited. Sent me emails all the time about just raving about the church. Until she came to me and said, Pastor, I have an issue. My boyfriend, he doesn't want anything to do with God. Yet he wants to marry me and I want to marry him. Huh, that's funny. I'm actually getting a call from my Amish friend right now, Ravelin Hills Archery. I didn't even know I could get calls on this thing. I should answer and say, I was just talking about you guys. These are the Amish guys I'm talking about. Just get off there. I need to see my notes. And what was I saying? The girl. She said to me, I want to marry him, and he wants to marry me. And I said, what does he think about church? He'll never go to church. He don't believe in God. I said, don't you dare marry him. What? Give her the Bible. But he's cute. But he's this. Come on, people. And let me just even go even deeper, okay? Well, he goes to a church. Big deal. Is he born again? Is he filled with the Holy Ghost? How does he talk about his pastor? Does he serve in his church? Oh, he goes to church. Well, see, that's you compromising because your faith is so small. And let's face it, loneliness creeps in. And loneliness can be such a strong emotion. And I know because I know I have people in my own life that dropped standards and married because of low self-esteem, because of afraid of being alone, because of low self-esteem issues, think they're going to be alone forever, and they found somebody that showed them a little bit of interest. They went to church, big deal. They know nothing about God. They have no interest in serving God. But see, women will compromise and men will compromise because their faith isn't big in God. Their faith is big in what they've been told. And so when somebody comes along and looks a certain way or sounds a certain way, the first thing you should be, I love it. A guy came up to a girl in Pastor Nancy's church and asked her on a date. And now this isn't required, but I love what she said. She said, well, you better go talk to my pastor first. And then the first thing she said to him before I said, are you a tither?
Yeah, praise God. That's good.
Let me tell you something. Soapbox, right here, soapbox. I'm practicing because when the church gets bigger, first thing before we do to go to two services, we're going to add a couple rows, and this is where I'm going to be preaching from, so this is my practice. It's kind of neat up here. I don't get to be up here a lot, you know, this high. A minister was in another country, and he got into another country, and where he was picked up and ministering in, it was the worst part of town, and the murder rate, and people being... mugged and things, it was through the roof. And he was a foreigner and looked the part. He said, you're a prime target. So they said, we're going to pick you up and get you to your hotel room. And so they sent a guy from the church over to him, one of the ushers or somebody from the church, the pastor sent over. And the guy gets in the car, the driver, and the guy gets, he says, hello, Pastor so-and-so, it's great to have you in this town or whatever. This is a foreign country. And the first thing the minister says to him is, he said, sir, are you a tither? Guy looked back and said, he didn't want to lie. He said, no, I'm not. He opens the door and he gets out and shuts the door. And the guy, where are you going? Where are you going? He said, I walked to my hotel room. He said, you can't walk to your hotel room. He said, I'm more safe walking to my hotel room than I am driving around with somebody that's cursed in their life because they don't tithe. Why would you even think of partnering with somebody that's robbing God? Because that's what a non-tither is. They're a thief. A lot of them do it ignorantly, but the Bible says, will a man rob God? You have when you don't tithe. And girls and guys, they latch up with somebody and they try and they, if you have to dig and scrape, you have to dig and scrape for any reason to justify why you're with somebody, you're doing it your own way. Don't compromise. Start saying, Father, I'm believing you. It's your will. I thank you for sending me a godly man who loves you, who honors his pastor, who loves the word of God, who serves in church, who's a tither, who's a giver. Now, they might not know everything that you know, but as long as they're going in the same direction, have that same heart, and are on board with the word of God, amen. But so many people, they're so lonely, they're so desperate. They just jump on board with anything. And then they pay a price. They pay a consequence for it. And it's sad. It's sad. So what do? You get this in your heart. Oh, he said it's his will that I have a spouse. And he said there's standards. So it's will that I have a spouse according to his standards. And then you start confessing it once it gets your heart. Father, I thank you for a godly man. I thank you for a godly woman who loves the word, who's honorable to their pastor, honorable to the local church, who serves you, who's for the Holy Ghost. Yeah.
Amen.
Now, let me help people because I know thoughts come in. Because you deal with people and help them, you know. There are times you didn't know. You had no idea growing up. You weren't born again. And maybe you married somebody. And maybe they don't want anything to do with God. And that's hurtful, isn't it? When you're married and you're joined with somebody and they're just not interested in it. Well, thank God for faith and thank God for the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, I do want to say this. Every situation must be navigated by the Holy Ghost. Why am I telling you this? Because there have been situations where divorce was absolutely warranted and the will of God. Absolutely. But in those cases and situations, they were navigated by the Holy Ghost. And then I've seen other cases like this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Did I say 1 Peter? Chapter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, wives, this works for husbands too, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any of them obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the behavior of their wives. Jake, could you please pull that up in the Amplified? In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands, subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them. Again, that all that submission and stuff is talking about, when they talk about wives submitting, there's a middle of the road and then there's a ditch. The middle of the road is the husband's to be the head of the home, but the husband is to be the head of the home as Christ is to the church, which Christ was sacrificial, Christ was loving, Christ was selfish. Selfless. If guys would love their wives like Christ loved the church, submission would be no problem for women.
Right.
And vice versa. If women would submit to their husbands and let the husband lead, the women would have no problem getting their husbands to love them.
Right.
Like Jesus did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he says here, so that even if and any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. Each situation is different. Because again, to tell you that I've not been in situations where I absolutely said, yes, a divorce is the right way. Yes, absolutely, get away from that person. I'd be lying to you. Because the Holy Ghost was telling the person and telling me, it's over with.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, the fruit of even more things appear. You see, that's why God was telling you to do that. Because
yeah.
The way they are. So to say that that's not the case is not true, but that's not every case. There are cases that you need to hear from God that if you'll do the Word of God, it'll turn that around. The Bible says so. I remember Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a tough case. He turned out to be a miracle, didn't he? But he was so mean to his wife, so hurtful to his wife, that she would go to meetings and stuff, and he'd make fun of her about the Bible and stuff. And she knew in her heart, that's my husband. I'm with my husband. And she wanted him so desperately to be a man of God. And so the story goes like this. She was going to church one night, and he was making fun of her. And he said, yeah, go ahead and go. See what happens. You come home. She came home, and all the doors were locked. She couldn't get in. And it was a cold night. Well, you know, she had to get home. She had to start beating on the door, start carrying on and kicking and screaming and calling all the neighbors. You know what she did? She pulled her coat up over her, laid down at the door. I don't know how much sleep she got that night, but he woke up in the morning and thought, that's weird. There was no conflict at night. She didn't hear banging on the door. He walks out, opens the door, and trips over her. She gets up, kisses him, and says, honey, what would you like for breakfast? And went in and made him his favorite breakfast. He said what that did to him absolutely changed him, and said how his wife did that. Now, that's not what most women would do. Right. Amen. And again, I'm not telling you to be a doormat, and I'm not condoning that you be a doormat. Again, each situation is different, but there are situations where I saw it in the, you know, that girl in the court in the Jamestown church. We went over their house for dinner. And I swear to you, I'm not kidding or being exaggerated. I seriously thought I was sitting across from a serial killer. Her husband, in a night of dinner and a night we played some kind of card game after, literally said maybe in 3 hours, 8 words to us. And I mean, just was. And she would tell us, he makes fun of me all the time. He's so mean to me. She said, but I love him. He's my husband. I said, here's what you're going to do. I said, you love him. You love him like never before. You be sweet to him. You speak faith over him. This guy went from serial killer to youth leader, happy-go-lucky, every kid loves him, marriage of heaven on earth for a time. Amen. It happened. She would write on her blue cards, I thank God my husband serves the Lord. Just as an act of faith, my husband this. Now again, is this a 100% of work every single time? No, people still have a will. And we can pray, and you should pray for your spouse and pray for the ones that are off. But you need to follow your spirit on some things. But the Bible does give you word for the unbelieving spouse. Amen? Amen. Now real quick, last but not least, let's get this over. I said 8 o'clock, boy, I lied to you. Father, forgive me. Congregation, forgive me. Sarah, forgive me. In the nursery, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Marry the right people. Join yourself with the right person. Amen. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And you know what? If you're in one of those situations and you're in absolute heartache with your spouse, bring it to God. See what he says about it. He doesn't want you to stay that way forever. He'll make something happen for you. I'm telling you, he'll speak to your heart. He'll tell you something. And so if you're in that situation, don't say, oh my God, it's too late. No, no, no. God will give you a plan. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. He'll show you. He'll tell you what to do. Praise God. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Psalms 112. So the Bible says you train a child the right way, they won't depart. It's funny, you know, family members and worldly people have talked to me. Well, you just never know. You just never know. No, actually, I do know. My son will never depart from the ways of God. My daughter will never depart from the ways of God because the Word says so. Amen. And I'm training them right. Amen. Well, you just never. No, I do know. I do know. The Word says. Psalms 112, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed, talking about that man's children, shall be mighty on this earth, the generation of the upright will be blessed. Why do I say every day, my children are blessed, highly favored and mighty on this earth? Because that's what the Bible says about them. They're always going to be blessed, they're always going to be mighty, they're always going to be favored on this earth. Why? The Word says so. The Word says so. Now, parents, can I help you? Are you ready? Reach down real quick. Make sure your steel toes are tight. Get ready. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. So what I'm saying is the Bible gives you verses that you can speak over your children. I want my children, and I'm going to help you parents that didn't know these things, and your kids have strayed away. I'm going to help you with those cases too. Aren't you glad God got it all covered?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me just hammer the children here for a second. Are you ready, kids, for a spanking? Come on, kids, are you ready for a spanking?
Yeah.
Okay. Caleb's ready. It is wrong to not obey at the first request. Should not have to tell you to do something twice. Should not have to tell you, go back and this and that. Children, obey. This is right in the sight of the Lord. It is disrespectful. It is dishonorable. We do not allow our kids to tell us no. We do not allow our kids to have to be told over and over and over again. Praise God. Now get ready. We're not done yet. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3, why? That it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. This was the first commandment that came with a promise. The commandment is honor and obey. Pay attention, you don't want to miss this. Honor and obey. And the promise is that it'll be well with you. You know what well with you means? You marry the right person. You get the right job. You get the right favor. All the blessings. Health in your body. Yeah. Some kids need to absolutely be slapped across the face and shook for being so disrespectful and so dishonorable to their parents. Amen. Fires me up. Yesterday, Abby put on a show and she got her food on the couch. I grabbed her by her little arm and said, let's go out on the table and you sit there. And you're going to do it. All the tears came. I said, we do not act like this. And I said, I'm not raising some dishonorable, disrespectful child in this home.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, parents, get ready. So number one, kids, it's your job to be obedient and honorable. You know what honorable is? This isn't honorable. That's not honor. Slamming your door, back talking, that's not honor. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. First time, that's honor. Clean your room. Boom, you do it. There's no option. That's honor and obedience. Amen. That maybe, oh, you must not. Oh, so when you're dishonorable and disobedient, you must not want it to be well with you. You must not want to live long on the earth.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Now get ready, parents. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Children are not inundated when they're born and grow up with honor. It has to be taught. Don't you dare claim blessings for your kids if you're not going to be a mom or a dad. I'm going to let my child talk to me however they want. I'm going to let my kid do whatever they want. The house of God's not going to be important. Church ain't going to be important. They're going to sleep in church. They can lay on me. They can do whatever they want. They can play on the floor. They can run through the aisles during church, talk while pastor's preaching. Don't expect, oh, my kids are highly blessed and favored on the earth, and that the church of God, the house of God, is foreign to them. They backtalk you and mouth off to you, and you just let it go. Don't expect that to work out. You have to train them. Train them, and they won't depart. Train them and they won't depart.
Yeah.
Training isn't always fun, but it's beneficial. You can speak the word over your kids all you want, but if the house of God's not a priority, if you're not instilling honor and obedience into them, it ain't going to matter.
Right.
Praise God. Parents don't realize the disservice they're doing, by not bringing to their kids to service. Getting them in. Why don't we have a children's church past whatever age we have? We have people leave this church because they say, "Well, we don't have any. You don't have anything for my 16-year-old. For real?
Come on.
Your kid can't. You don't say, "Oh my God, my kid! I just sat through an hour history lesson. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're making them sit through math in school. You don't go to school and say that." No, you sit there and listen to math. You sit there and listen to history. You sit there in your English class and listen.
That's right.
But we don't have any fun games during church for my 16-year-old.
Come on.
It's the truth. Low priorities for the house of God. You know why we don't have it that late? Because kids need to get into church and hear from their pastor.
Amen.
It needs to become a habit that they have a shepherd.
Amen.
And so if you still have kids and they're living with you and you still have authority over them, they need to be in church. They need to sit there in church. They need to listen in church. They need to take notes in church. They need to be held accountable in church. Not, well, just here, you just sleep here and lay here, here. Here, just play your video games during church. Here, just draw during church. Now, I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking when kids are getting old enough and they can be in school, take notes during history, take notes during math. They certainly can learn about God.
Amen.
Praise God. Ooh. Oh, I'm just believing my kid's going to turn out. Oh, yeah, really? Based on what? You don't have a leg to stand on. You might hope they do, but you don't have a leg. I know he's going to. I know she's going to say, oh, you arrogant thing. No. I know because of this. I know because of this. This tells me he's going to. Not because I'm some great parent, but I hold him according to this. I hold her according to that. Amen. So yeah, they will grow up blessed. They will grow up mighty. They will marry the right person. They will walk into everything that God has for them. They will be trained the right way. Why? Do it the Word's way. Now, don't let condemnation get in for you parents. That this is the first time you ever heard this, or you just got born again a couple years ago. You've had kids, and you didn't know how to teach them and train them, and they've gone off astray. Well, thank God there's Word for you too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What does the Bible say? Can I just real quick share something with you and you write it down? First thing you need to do for a child, that is, if you're born again and your child's not born again. Now, if they're born again, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you have a child that's strayed, that's born again, pray the Ephesian prayers for them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, Ephesians chapter 3, over there about verse 12, Paul prays prayers. And it's about power for the child. It's about power for them and their eyes being opened and that the fullness of God will come in their life. Pray those prayers for them and speak faith over their life. My kids are blessed. My kids are going to serve God. My kids are going to come back to God. My kids are, you know, they're not going to heaven if they're born again, praise God. But we want them to live more than just heaven. Amen. We want them to enjoy life here. And say they've strayed and gone away from God. Pray those Ephesian prayers for them. It'll make power for them. Pray in tongues for them. Speak words of faith for them. That's your assignment for the born again child that's gone so away. Now, if you have a child, they're not born again. They're not heaven bound. The first thing you do is you take authority over the devil in that situation. Because what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? He's blinded the minds of them that believe not. The only reason your child doesn't believe is because they're blinded.
Yeah.
Well, you have authority over the devil, and you have authority and power within your family. Amen? It won't work, might not work for the neighbor's kid, but it'll work for your authority and within your family. Brother Hagin would test this. He would see how far out in his family he would go before it stopped working. He said right about around the first cousin is when his faith wasn't able to be used anymore. But for his own kids and for like brothers and sisters and stuff, it would work. So for the child, you didn't know. First of all, don't beat yourself up. Now you know, so now you're going to act on what you know.
Amen.
You say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off my child. Loose him, loose her, and let him go. Boom. When you do that, because you're a Christian, you have authority over the devil, he has to release them. Doesn't the Bible say in Luke chapter 10, we have authority over all the power of the enemy? Well, what's one of the powers of the enemy? He blinds the minds of them that believe not. Well, I could take authority over that power. Loose them and let them go. He's got to take the blinders off. He has to. He has to. Satan, you take your hands off. Well, then the Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 9 that we can pray for laborers. The second thing you do after you get loose them and let them go, Lord, give me an open door to speak to them. But sometimes our family won't listen to us. So you know what you do then? You say, Father, I pray that you'd send a laborer. God wants them saved more than you want them saved. You know how I know? Because he knows what hell looks like. We get an idea and we think, no, God knows the horrors of hell. He sent Jesus to rescue people from that place. Amen?
Amen.
So the second thing you do is say, Father, send them somebody that will influence them, that they'll listen to. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a laborer to go across their path. Somebody to speak something that's going to bring light into their life. Well, now that the blinders are off, when somebody comes and speaks it, it's going to have much more of an impact.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So number one, take authority. Number two, send out a laborer. Number three, pray in tongues. Take time every single day and pray in tongues over them. What are you doing? You're making power available. You're making power available. And use your words. Father, I thank you. My child will not go to hell. My child will accept Jesus before he goes. That's the will of God, that everyone would be saved. Get on board with that will and start using your faith. Amen. If you'll do those things, you'll see changes in the unsaved ones. You'll see changes. And same for the spouse that's the unbeliever. Take authority. Same for a brother, same for a sister. You know, anything like that that's within your family. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that something was said tonight that touched everybody's heart. I hope, anyways. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for being patient. We had to get all that out tonight. But I hope you heed those words. And I'll just say this. This is on my heart so strong. And I hope the young people and the single people in here don't ever forget what I said about the word, about being unequally yoked. I tell you, I've seen so many people fall into pitfalls. They didn't do it God's way. Father, I pray for them. Their eyes would be open, Lord. It's just so strong and heavy on my heart. Ha, sato motor santiki. Oh, prosanda ne se kumba sahata se tosukota. Ah, rasabate se toro sungumahata sikita sataya tosondo tosoto. Izando so mata se tos or samata kita sotata. Eroson na maeto kura saeta sin the shokunda saeta. Yes, atotoro so mata saate. Yeah, no, that's not the way. No. Oh, I command that door to be shut. Ando sona ita kai matu and the kai the sonda la kanda sikite so yetara mata so te le te. O ramama ita sundu kunda saeta satesha tora. Yes, I thought I said, yeah, in the light of the word, 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 shine bright, shine bright, shine bright in that heart. The light of the word, shine bright in that heart to let them know that's not the way. Well, we were blessed tonight.
Amen.
Say, what was that all about? Well, the Lord showed me a situation. I needed authority taken over it. And just don't forget those words. Don't be unequally yoked. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We're just so grateful. Father, I thank you for the patience of the people. Father, bless Sarah, who's been in the nursery longer than normal, and just thankful for people that would sit here and hear the word of God. But Lord, you helped us tonight. And Lord, we've been given word that we can build in our hearts, so then we speak, it comes to pass. No more empty words. No more firing blanks. We want to put some real ammunition in the barrel. And so, Father, we thank you for tonight. Can we just worship him and thank him? I just always feel like we ought to be thankful. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you and magnify you. We love you and praise you and bless you. Thank you for our help tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anything that, you know, you're going through and you face that we didn't give specific scripture for, you say, I need that ammunition. I need that word. Shoot me a text. Give me a call. Come up and ask me and we'll point you in the right direction. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, have a great rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning. You are dismissed.
I love the fire. I love the rain. All the supernatural things. God's pouring. God's pouring. God's pouring.